This is Slaying the Green-Eyed Monster, Part 7. Now, we've been talking about this green-eyed monster now for weeks, so 6 weeks before this. And this is based on the command that Jesus gave to his disciples regarding covetousness. And in the scripture, in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "Then he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.'" That's the NIV translation. The ESV actually uses the correct word, which is covetousness. He said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And so we've spent several weeks really going into detail about this and how to identify covetousness, what covetousness is, understanding that there's a lot of things, a lot of words that are sort of synonymous, things like lust and greed and envy and all of those things. They all fall into this category of what we call covetousness. God warned us about that, even in the 10th commandment. He warned us about covetousness. Why? And we've showed you that if you allow covetousness in your heart, it will cause you to break every other commandment. It'll cause you to sin, basically. It is the root of all evil. The love of money is really, better translated, covetousness and avarice. Okay, and so it's very important. And we talked about the fact that you can check your desires out and know whether or not there's covetousness in your heart based on your desires. For instance, legitimate desire, good godly desire, will be willing to sacrifice the thing that I want or the thing I desire, but covetous desire will sacrifice people so I can get the thing I want, right? And so those are ways that you can test it out. Legitimate desire only wants what God wants for us, but covetous desire is not content with God's provision. It's never thankful. It's never grateful. It's always wanting something more. Somehow it leads to a victim mentality where somehow we always feel like somehow we're getting ripped off. Other people are doing better. Legitimate desire will not lead to other sins, but covetous desire will always lead to other sins. You know, if there's ever a question about, is this desire right? Is this desire godly? Well, does it lead you closer to God or does it lead you away from God? So covetous desire always is going to lead into other sins. We talked about the fact that when you look at David's life, you can see how he broke every commandment literally through allowing covetous desire into his heart. And we have the whole Bathsheba incident there. And then we talked about that the covetous heart will become corrupted. And we said that a covetous heart will also become calloused. And these are consequences of a covetous heart. Talked about that a covetous heart will be condemned eternally, ultimately, because that's what the scripture says about it. And actually, what we're going to talk about today to wrap this up is that a covetous heart must be changed through repentance. No wonder Jesus came and began to preach repentance from the very beginning. No wonder John the Baptist before him was preaching repentance. And then once the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the church, the first thing that Peter stands up to preach once the Spirit descends upon the church is what? Repentance. All through the scriptures, you see the Apostle Paul talking about repentance. And he talks about the fact that godly sorrow leads us to repentance. So for the most part, we have this thing going on in our head that wants to protect us and keep us from feeling pain or feeling sorrow. So what happens is we live in denial many times. And so I believe what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to do here is uncover and expose covetousness that may be in our hearts and give us an opportunity to repent. And so the only way that we can overcome covetousness is through repentance. There is no other way. And then we talked about last week the fact that as we went through Psalm chapter 73, how the psalmist, you can see at the beginning, was dealing with a covetous heart, and he's kind of complaining about the fact that the wicked seemed to be getting away with things, and he was kind of feeling sorry for himself. And then, and Pastor Cindy, I believe, was kind of talking about this morning, that, you know, he said, my feet almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But as you go down through that psalm, what you see is, as he gets into the presence of God, he begins to see things differently. And instead of being jealous and envious and covetous of the wicked, his heart began to break for the wicked. He began to realize that the wicked are going to have literally hell to pay. And so everything changed, and then he begins to see how blessed he really is. And as you go down through that psalm, that's what you see. And he finally ends up, the very last verse of that says in 73:28, Psalm 73:28, but as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. See, what happened is he went from that covetous heart to repentance to all of a sudden realizing how really blessed he is. Amen. And I want to tell you, that's a process we all need to walk through. The moment you start hearing yourself complain, the moment you start sensing some envy or some jealousy or some covetousness in your heart, man, begin to get into the presence of God and begin to remind yourself about how good God has been to you and about all the blessings you do have. There's that old song they used to sing. We hardly ever hear it anymore, about count your blessings, right? Name them one by one. Because I want to tell you something, you are a blessed people. Why don't you go ahead and turn to somebody and tell them, you are a blessed person. You are blessed more than you realize. And so James exposes that heart and talks about covetousness and what it does in James chapter 4. We don't have time to go through that, but you can go back and reread that if you want. But he ends that section by saying, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And so then Paul starts describing about in Philippians chapter 4, about don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He's trying to get us back to that place of stop feeling sorry for yourself and start being thankful. Break the power of that covetousness. So I wanted today to end with some very practical things about how to take care of this. But before we talk about the practical things here, practical steps to take to break covetousness, you got to first realize that it's not just something that you have in your heart that God sees and says, you know, you really shouldn't have that. But you got to see that the wages of that is death. Till we get to the place where we recognize that our sin can never be looked at as minor or no big deal, or it's just a little something I'm dealing with, it's just a mistake, and we soften everything up. You got to understand that the Bible says the universal law that God put in place is the wages of sin is death. And this stuff brings death to us. Covetousness is bringing death to America as we speak. It's all rooted in covetousness. And God is exposing stuff left and right. I mean, there are, you know, preachers and politicians and Hollywood people and people in the music industry that they're being exposed left and right now. But that does not mean that the nation is coming to repentance. This country has been saturated with covetousness, and it has saturated the church as well. And as I said before, I believe in a prosperity message. I believe God wants to prosper his people. But the purpose of being a Christian isn't so that I can become rich in this world. The purpose is, first of all, to save myself eternally, but then to try to save everybody we can. And let me tell you, the richest person in the world is not the person who has the most money. It's the person who has found his place in the kingdom of God and found his or her purpose and is at work doing that which God created them to do. That's rich. And when we stand before the Lord ultimately one day and hear, well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the master's happiness. Let me tell you, that's rich. So let me give you some steps to deal with this, because how many of you know that monster has to die today? Slaying the green-eyed monster. All right, real practical, 6 steps from coveting to contentment. And these must be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not, God never tells us anything that we can do without him. Amen. When he said, lay hands on the sick, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, heal incurable diseases, he's not telling you to do that because you're so talented. No, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do anything. Amen. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, number one, choose to stop worrying. How many of you know it's a choice? You know, just like everything else, love is a choice. Can I tell you, fear is a choice? Can I tell you, worrying is a choice? We have to choose to stop worrying because that covetous heart is never satisfied. And we talked about the fact that you give it a little bit and it's got this voracious appetite. It just wants more and more and more, and it will consume your life. It will consume your family. It will consume your children. Number two, choose to start praying. You say, well, that's a little elementary. That's a little simple. Yeah, it is simple. It's extremely simple. So why aren't you doing it? Now, I'm saying that a little bit sarcastically, but what I want you to understand what I'm saying is praying isn't just asking God to fix stuff all the time. Praying is having an open communication with the Lord where you know his thoughts and he knows yours. Amen? Praying is turning your worry into prayer and bring your request to God, knowing that he wants the best for you and that ultimately he sees the big picture and he knows what we need. But we choose to start praying. Worrying is not going to get you anywhere. I remember one guy talking about, the quote was something along the lines of, worrying is a whole lot like shoveling smoke. You're just not getting a whole lot done. All right, number three, choose to be thankful. Again, you have the choice to make. In any given situation, you can choose to be thankful. You have to choose because it doesn't come natural to be thankful. Everybody understand what I'm saying? It comes natural, really, to complain. It's part of that old nature. You choose to be thankful. We need to learn to be thankful even for the little things. If you're thankful for the little things, that opens up the door for God to do big things. Choose to be thankful. Parents, make sure your children are thankful. If your child is always complaining and griping and they're unthankful, and I want to tell you that is a sure sign that covetousness has gripped their heart, and you need to help them get out of that. If your kid's always moping around and whining and just so unhappy all the time, you need to work on the heart. It's a heart issue, right? And the only way to fix that is connecting them to the Lord, to the Spirit of the Lord, and setting an example yourself. Amen? You choose to be thankful. Point out the little things. You are blessed. I remember when our kids were growing up, you know, you hear all the thing about preacher's kids, and boy, we'd hear that all the time. Well, you know, they're a PK, and you know about them preacher's kids, and you know, and so it's a horrible thing, but that a preacher's kid should have to go through that kind of stuff because people have such a, this, you know, they expect such high things of that child. They don't allow them to be a normal child. I mean, your kid may be an absolute heathen, but that preacher's kid better not do anything wrong or else, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? So our kids were feeling the weight of that. And I remember Pastor Cindy telling him, you know what? You're blessed. You don't realize how blessed you are. You are extremely blessed to have parents like us. Now, that's hard for a parent to say because we know all our faults, right? But she said, you are extremely blessed. You know, you have what most children will never get to experience. In no way are you not blessed. Now, of course, financially, things were super tight. We tell the story about when my kids, especially my older ones, were little. Man, if Burger King had a 99-cent Whopper, woohoo, man, it's going to town. Because we going to buy us some Whoppers for 99 cents, and we're going to cut them in half and share them. Now, y'all might think I'm exaggerating. I'm not. I mean, things were tight. So our kids felt like they were not blessed. But let me tell you something. Today, they wouldn't tell you that. They know they're blessed. And so your kids are blessed, too. They're blessed that you're their parent. And if it's a grandkid, they're blessed you're their grandparent. Amen? So, again, we choose to be thankful, and we need to help our kids understand that. And everything that we have is a gift from God. So we really should be grateful at all times. Amen. Again, I've often said it. We live in the United States of America. We are a blessed people. Even the poorest among us is still blessed, more blessed than most of this world's population. Because even if they're homeless and have no money, they can still go find food in a dumpster somewhere. Now, that may sound terrible, but I'm telling you, there are people around this world who would love to be able to find food in a dumpster. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't have compassion on people who are having to live like that, you know, and finding food in a dumpster. That's not my point. My point is even the poorest among us is blessed compared to most of the world's population. All right, so we have to make these choices. Number four, choose to think differently. Let God renew your mind by the word, and don't let yourselves think the way you used to think. You have to choose to change the way you think. You have to recognize it. And if you sense that covetousness, and we've talked so much about it to where you can know what it is, when you sense that in your heart, choose to change the way you think. Go to God's word and say, God, what do you say about me? Well, the Bible says I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it says about me. It says that I am highly blessed and I am favored of him, that I'm a child of God, and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's who I am. So I choose to think differently. Jeremiah 15:16, when your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Think about that. We bear his name. We're a blessed people. Won't you say it again? We're a blessed people. You got to shake down your thoughts. You got to examine them. You got to throw away anything that is not acceptable before the Lord. The scripture says you take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. All right, number five, choose. This is a big one. Choose to be generous. If you're stuck in covetousness, the last thing that comes natural to you is generosity. You choose to be generous. Open your heart and share with others. How do we know that's the right thing to do? Well, God set the example. For God so loved the world, he did what? He gave, right? His only begotten son. So you are most like God when you give. And don't get nervous. We're not about to take up another offering. Just letting you know that our lifestyle should be the lifestyle of generosity. And it's a choice we have to make because it does not come natural. All right. Number six, choose to be content. Choose to be content. We need to do as James 4:7 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's Hebrews 12:2 that tells us that. We need to hide the truth of God's word in our heart that we might not sin against God. That's Psalm 119:11. You know, when I was in school, I went to a Christian school in my high school, and one of the pledges we did was I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. How many of you know that's a pretty good pledge to do in life? And it wouldn't hurt us to say that every day. Amen? And then also, we need to know the truth. Understand that the truth will set us free, according to John 8:32. So the way you keep your focus on the Lord and be free is through some very practical ways. And it's, you know, it's real simple. Bible study, fellowship, serving, worshiping. Listen, don't let your Christian experience be, I'm going to show up on a Sunday morning and go to church and I did my Christian thing for the week. Man, get involved. Ask, how can I serve? You know, if we have classes, we have courses, we have stuff that we do. If you've never taken any of that, if you never got involved in our infusion course, you ought to get involved in that. That's happening right now. It happens at 9:30, and then those people come to the 10:30 service. We encourage you, get everything that you can get while you can get it. So again, this is why being part of a church is so important. This is why it's important to take advantage of those discipleship opportunities that the church offers. If you have found yourself living a life of covetousness, again, it all comes down to this one word. Anybody know what that word is? Repent. Start battling the lies of Satan by changing the way you think into the way God thinks. And when you do this, growing in the truth of God's word, trusting in his provision, and loving God and loving people through his power, know that God will take care of you. And there's no need for covetousness to be in your heart. You can begin to rejoice when you see other people blessed. Understand that no good thing will God withhold from you. Come into agreement with the Word of God that God gives me everything I need, that I lack nothing. So before that resurrection Sunday morning 2,000 years ago, there was no way for mankind to overcome the sin nature. But because Jesus overcame and now lives in the heart of the born-again Christian, we can overcome that sin nature, which is driven by covetousness. You can slay that green-eyed monster. Amen? Jesus overcame. So we overcome. On resurrection morning, Jesus overcame the power of death when God raised him from the dead. So you know what that means? We no longer have to be afraid of death. As the scripture says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we're joyous today because he has risen. Amen. And our hearts have been made new. Now, I want to share one more scripture with you. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 23. I know I'm keeping you a little long, but I'm going to blame Pastor Cindy for that one. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You know, this is the Apostle Paul saying he's praying for the church. I want you to know I pray this over our church all the time. I pray also that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. Man, I want you to see with your spirit the things of God. Amen. Then verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. This power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is the body. Now catch this last phrase, the fullness, everybody say the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Who is he saying is the fullness? We are the church, the fullness of him. And he just said, I've given him authority over everything. Everything is subject to him. And now he's over the church, and therefore we are the fullness of him. He's given us authority over everything. Amen. God has made provision for everything that we will ever need. We never have a legitimate reason to ever covet anything. The heart of all God's commands is beware of covetousness. Let me ask you, how's your heart doing? I want to tell you, if you're struggling in any way with this, and this is the last week we're going to deal with this particular subject, I want to tell you, now's the time to slay that green-eyed monster. Let's stand to our feet. Now, I'm just going to ask you to respond to the Holy Spirit. We've prayed 6 weeks in a row about, Lord, expose covetousness in our hearts so that we can repent, so that we can be cleansed. But we're going to continue to cleanse our hearts and our own minds through the Word, through communion with Him, through prayer. And we're not going to let that green-eyed monster creep into our house again. Amen. If you're in agreement, won't you just lift your hands to the Lord? Father God, I thank you for every person in this room, no matter what age they are, from the oldest to the youngest, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us freedom. You've given us liberty. God, you have exposed this green-eyed monster. Lord, you have exposed that he's been hiding in our hearts, Father God. And God, we resist him now. We take authority over that thing now. In Jesus' name, Lord, we refuse to covet any longer. Father, we choose to rejoice when others are blessed. We choose to rejoice knowing how blessed we really are, Father. We refuse to feel sorry for ourselves and fall into that trap, oh God, that the enemy has set up for us. Lord, we know this green-eyed monster wants to absolutely destroy our lineage, our family, our children, our children's children, our mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, nephews, and nieces, God. But I thank you that you've given us power over this thing, and we refuse to bow to it any longer. In Jesus' name, we break the power of this thing right now. Go ahead and say it out of your own mouth. I break the power of covetousness right now. I break the power by the authority of Jesus' name. Lord, wash me in your blood. Cleanse me of this thing. Cleanse my heart, oh God. In Jesus' name, Father, give me a desire for your word, a desire for fellowship with you, oh God. A desire to live righteously, godly, and holy. Oh, Father, I thank you that you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. I refuse to envy. I refuse to be jealous. I refuse to covet. I refuse to allow lust to overtake me. In Jesus' name, we call it done through the blood of Jesus. And if you're in agreement, why don't you shout amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet each other as you go. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful week in the Lord. Be used for his glory.